I want to turn to the 10th chapter of John, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now that's a great text to me. I have come that they might have life. Now there's a thief around, and he visits all of us, and he steals away whatever we'll allow him to steal. And I remember a statement Jesus made, that if the good man of the house would have known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. Amen. Now you and I do not have to fall victim to this thief that's around. We are admonished and exhorted in the teachings of God's Word to be diligent, to be alert, to be watchful. And there's something about us naturally, if we know a thief is operating in our community where we live, we'll watch a little closer than we do if we don't know there's a thief around there. Well, I'm announcing to you there's a thief around. And he's stealing everything he can get. And he'll steal from you if you let him.
Amen.
But now Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Now what I'm concerned about for you and me is abundant living. Let us not be satisfied with just living, but let us be reaching out for abundant living.
Amen.
The Bible speaks of abundance of grace. And love abounding more and more. The Bible speaks in broad terms and in exciting terms, in terms of abundance. God hasn't just provided a little bit for you and me. He has provided an abundance for every child he has. And he didn't just provide a little taste, he provided a banquet. The fatted calf's been killed, and a banquet set. The scripture said he led me into his banqueting hall, and his banner over me was love. So God has provided a banquet, a very elaborate banquet for you and me. And we don't need to be satisfied with just a little taste. But we can help ourselves freely at the banquet table that the Lord has provided for you and me. Now, I knew a woman once, and my first wife, Opal, helped nurse this woman in her last illness. And this woman lay in a deep coma for about 3 days. And there was no response of any kind. Never twitched an eyelash. There was nothing moving. about her, never responding to anything. But we couldn't go ahead and make arrangements for her funeral and hold her funeral and take her out and bury her. She was still breathing. So she was alive, but for all practical purposes, she was dead. There are some folks like that spiritually. You just have to kind of drive up stakes along to see if they're making any move at all. If they're going anyplace. Yeah, and I don't have to be satisfied with that kind of living.
Amen.
God has provided something better for us. Abundant living. Living on top of everything. Over all of the powers of the opposition. Jesus said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now that's great, but that's the privileges of God's children.
Yes, Lord.
To be on top of everything and to have power over all the powers of the enemy and to live victoriously and triumphantly. Now this isn't something just, it's fantastic all right, but it isn't something out of this world. It's what God has provided for men and women that will love and serve Him and trust in Him and have faith in the almighty power of God, what He has provided for us right here in this present world, in this lifetime. That we can live victoriously and triumphantly and not be hurt by anything. Now that didn't mean that it wouldn't hurt if you got your finger smashed or dropped something on your foot and crushed your foot, or maybe you wouldn't get your feelings hurt or anything of that kind. But it wouldn't hurt your faith. It wouldn't hurt your experience and your relationship with God. We wouldn't be hurt in our Christian experience. We could go right on in stride and take the things that happened to us and live on top of everything.
Amen.
Now, I like that perspective of Christian living.
Praise the Lord.
And since God provided that for us, then I feel that it's our privilege to possess that and not be satisfied with just merely drawing our breath like the woman I spoke of, but that we would be energetic and outgoing in our work for God and in our service for Him. And in the victory that we possess in our souls, we do not have to have an up and down and in and out experience and relationship with God and brought down under some things and till we just succumb to them and decide, well, I guess I can't ever be any better on that line. I can't ever get the victory here or there. But there's victory for every soul God has. And God has abundant victory.
Amen.
Abundant grace. An abundant supply. For every one of His children. It doesn't matter what our situations are. What our circumstances and conditions are. That's no part of it. That doesn't matter. God's got grace right on over all of it. And victory right on through every kind of circumstance and condition that could happen to us. And Jesus came to bring that. And He brought that. And He imparts that to his children.
Amen.
According to the measure of their faith. We have a text in the 72nd Psalm, verse 7. Now the first 17 verses of this psalm are all prophetic verses, prophesying of Christ and of his coming and of his work and of the effects of his gospel and so on. And in verse 7 it says, in his days shall the righteous flourish. Now we're in his days. We're down here in the gospel day. We are in this new covenant dispensation and established in the grace and truth that Jesus brought in this better hope which makes us perfect in Christ Jesus. The Word of God says that the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And we're in this better hope.
Amen.
And we're in this new dispensation, the dispensation of grace. We are living under the new covenant, the gospel day, and all of the privileges that the gospel offers. And in his day, that's what he said, in his days shall the righteous flourish. Now God has a real flourishing experience and measure of grace and faith for every one of us.
Amen.
Just flourishing. And the word flourish is defined as to grow well or luxuriantly, to fare well, succeed, to prosper. The good news that I bring you this morning that is this, that under grace, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and under grace and in our relationship and fellowship with him through the grace of God, we can succeed.
Amen.
In living for him. And we can prosper in our spiritual lives and in our souls. And also he said that he wished above all things that we might prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Now there's wonderful prosperity, unlimited prosperity in the spiritual realm for every child of God. We need to just launch a campaign to lay hold upon the things that are provided for us and get hold of them and live joyfully, luxuriantly, and successfully in the grace of God, overcoming everything that comes against us. Oh, let us seek to obtain by faith a broader, clearer, and more far-reaching vision and perspective of what is available to us in this new covenant.
Amen.
We don't have to scratch our way through. We can be right up on both feet and triumphing over everything that comes against us. Now, I was thinking this, you know, some folks get along quite well as long as everything kind of goes their way. I think I could too. I've told you several times that according to my thinking, if I were the only person on earth, there was no one here but me to contest me in anything, I think I could be pretty good saved about all the time. Well, there are other people here beside me, but I still think if everybody just bow to me and let me have my way all the time and nobody cross me and and contest me on anything, I still believe I could be pretty good saved. But it doesn't seem like it turns out that way. People cross me up sometimes. And I don't get my way all the time. And people don't bow to me. And so it's up to me then to get down and humble my heart and get a hold of a degree and measure of faith and grace in my soul through Christ Jesus that I can live saved if people don't bow to me and if they don't let me have my way.
Amen.
And if I get crossed up and things displease me, I don't have to get the mully grubs. I don't have to get the blues. I don't have to pout it out because I didn't get my way and somebody didn't please me and things went contrary to my wishes. God's got a better experience for folks than that.
Amen.
God's got an experience for you that you can have grace in your soul and victory if they spit in your face.
Amen.
If they slap you. If they revile you and persecute you and cast your name out as evil and downgrade you and walk over you and take away your rights impose upon you, you can still have victory. And you can still live joyfully in the Lord. I've never seen an age like this one in all the time I've been living. I haven't lived as long as some folks, but I've lived longer than a lot of folks too. But I've never seen an age and a time like this one in my lifetime when people were as touchy as they are now. And get their feelings hurt and you don't know how you hurt them. You just discover they're not very close to you, they're kind of cold and maybe they just withdraw from you and got their feelings hurt and pouting it out and so on, and you just wonder what happened. Don't even know how you hurt them. People just wearing their feelings out here on their coat sleeves. God's got a greater life for you than that. I dare say if you're a person like that, you're going around in an unhappy state a big part of your time. Because things are going to happen that will hurt your feelings. And people's got their feelings hurt, they can't be very joyful. They can't be very happy, but God's got an experience of grace for you and me that we can live joyfully and be happy in the Lord. No matter what's happening to us. One brother met another on the street one morning and he said, "Good morning, brother. How are you this morning?" The other said, "Well, I guess I'm pretty good under the circumstances." And the first one says, "And what are you doing under the circumstances?" God doesn't want you and me to be getting down under our circumstances. God isn't a God of circumstances. He's a God over them. And He imparts to you and me grace and power over our circumstances. He can change our circumstances as He sees fit, but if He doesn't see fit to change them, He has power and grace for you and me to triumph over them and just go right on, living for Him. Brother Chandler brought out in one of his messages one time about people on different sides of the ocean. And they wanted to cross the ocean from both sides. But the ocean was there. Well, the ocean never did get dried up so they could go across by ordinary means. But somebody invented steam power. and put that steam power in a ship. They had the steamships. They're outdated now, but that was the first thing. And they just went right on through the ocean. Got all over there. Well, he brought out the thought that God said he would be with us in six troubles, and in the seventh he would not forsake us. We're going to have our troubles. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, the Bible says. And we're going to have our troubles, and God never promised to remove all the troubles and clear all the thorns out of the path and everything, but he just made a way through the troubles, and that's his grace. He says God would not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able, but God is faithful, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Well, that doesn't make much sense, does it? Make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Well, I kind of wrestled around with that a while, but anyway, God's got a way of escape for the saints, and that's his grace.
Yes,
through his grace, the trouble's there, and the obstacles are in the way, and problems come, and all those things, but he makes a way of escape by means of his grace, just pouring grace into our souls and carries us right on through those things, just like the steamship carried the people across the ocean. Right on through. Didn't have to dry up the ocean, drain the water out of it, to get people from one side to the other. Just get on the ship and go. God doesn't have to clear all the trouble out of your path and all the obstacles out of your way for you to be able to live a successful Christian life. He just pours grace in your soul, and you can go right on through those things and flourish right on. The 92nd Psalm, in verse 12, he says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Flourish. When he was speaking of the flourishing, triumphant, victorious, abundant life of the child of God, he chose the two principal trees that they knew of, the palm tree that attained to the highest height, and the cedar of Lebanon that attained to the widest spread, and he used those to describe the flourishing of a Christian life. Experience. The righteous shall flourish in his days.
Amen.
Flourish like the palm tree growing up, and grow like the cedar in Lebanon growing out and expanding and increasing in the things of God. In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 7 and 8, he said, "Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Now, that's the children of God. We trust in the Lord, and he's our hope, and he's our only hope. Christ in you is your hope of glory. We have no hope outside of him. Paul, in writing to the Gentiles in the second chapter of Ephesians, he said that at that time ye were without Christ, having no hope in the world. People outside of Christ don't have any hope. Christ in you is your hope of glory.
Amen.
And so we make Christ our hope, and and we trust in Him. And He says, He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Won't even wilt under heat. The leaf won't fade under drought. Will not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Her roots are running out by the rivers and drawing water and feeding the sap up into that tree that keeps the leaf green in time of heat. And God has a grace like that that'll keep you and me green and flourishing in the time of heated trials, fire furnace experiences, heated persecutions, everything that can come against us as children of God. That we can just keep green and flourishing, and her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in a year of drought. Let the drought come. Job had one. You and I will have ours. We'll get hedged in on every side. Job got there and God hid out on him. He said, I looked right and left. I looked in front and behind. And all where he had been, I could not find him. I think that must have been the worst part of Job's trial, was when God hid out on him and he couldn't have any connection with Him. He couldn't get any answer to his prayers. You and I will have experiences like that. We'll get hedged in on every side. And seems that God's a long way off and our prayers doesn't go to the ceiling. But let us be just like Job. After he had searched it all out and he couldn't make any contact and he couldn't find God in front or behind or on the right or on the left, he had just gone away and hid out on him. Job just humbly said, He knows the way I take. And when He's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. And Job did come forth as gold. We know the story of Job. Yes. And how his skin, after being afflicted with those boils, sore boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, and all that length of time, I don't know how long it was. Some say it was 3 years. I don't know where they get that. But anyway... He was that way for a long while. There was a lot went on there with him and his miserable comforters during that time. And all but Job held his integrity, and in the end his flesh came like new flesh, just like the flesh of a child. And he got back as many children as he lost. And his daughters were the fairest in all the land. And he got back twice as much wealth as he had lost. He said, I'll come out just like gold when this is over. When He has tried me, God help you and me to be able, through the grace of God and through faith, to hold our heads up when the trials and pressures and stresses and strains of life come against us and just feel confident in our soul. I'm going to come out all right when this is over, just shining like new money.
Help
us, dear Lord. Yeah. And said that it wouldn't cease from yielding fruit. And in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel in verse 12, he says, it shall bring forth new fruit according to His months. Just ever-bearing fruit trees. Every month. You know what ever-bearing strawberries are, do you not? Well, they just bear, and then they bear again, and then they bear again, and go right on till the frost gets them. Just bearing and bearing and bearing. And he says, these trees, they'll bear fruit according to their months. Just every month they'll bring forth new fruit. Why? Because their waters issued out from under the sanctuary. And folks, I say, if you and I walk humbly with God and live right down under the spout where the glory comes out, we can just keep bearing fruit abundantly for God, and living joyfully and victoriously and triumphantly for Him. Well, the clock's going around there, so I got that far anyhow, and kind of got the thought introduced, but by the help of the Lord, I'll be back here again. And I trust the Lord will help us to get a broader perspective of Christian living and what Christian living is and what victory is. Amen.